This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Live Palace News. As you can see from the title, Palace are set to appoint a new manager, a manager that has won the Europa League only a few seasons ago. We're going to be discussing that and more. Of course, it's a drama-filled day. As always, there's going to be a lot of people in chat. We might open up the lines depending on how the show is going. So keep your eye peeled for that. But if you do enjoy the show, make sure to leave a like and subscribe. As always, thank you for your support. Just another update. Sorry for the lack of Chelsea match reaction. Maybe you can tell from my voice, but I was ill. I've just about recovered today. What a timing, I guess. but yeah, I'm slowly getting there. So at times I might have to mute myself because I might be coughing. But yeah, we're slowly getting there. I'm joined by Patrick and Stan to talk, of course, about what's going on in the title. I mean, it's not rocket science what we're going to be discussing today. But before we actually talk about a new manager, there was some sad news today regarding, well, our current manager.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As it stands right now, but that's not going to be for long. We'll give all the sources, everything out to you as well. But earlier on today, unfortunately, Roy was rushed to hospital. He was taken ill at a training ground. Following the news that Hodgson was ill and was at hospital, the press conference that was scheduled today for 1:30 p.m. Had to be cancelled. And Steve Parish, according to reports, also followed him to the hospital. His condition is now stable, according to the club. And he's undergoing tests in the hospital. And everyone at the club and everyone at Back of the Nest, of course, sends their best wishes to Roy Hodgson. And just another thing on Roy Hodgson as well. Look, a lot of people have been frustrated with him for what he's done as a manager. But end of the day, he's a 76-year-old man. He's someone's son. He's someone's, you know, parent. So I'm not going to be taking any personal disrespect towards him. Wish him all the best. As we've always said, we're not going to deny our feelings. A lot of people did want Roy Hodgson out of the club, including me, Patrick and Stan, and a lot of people in chat. But of course, we're all human. So I'm not going to, talk about being happy about what's happened to him today. But, following that, there's still more, unfortunately, he won't be taking charge on Monday night. Paddy McCarthy and Ray Lewington are most likely. That's according to the chief football reporter for The Telegraph. And then the big news is, and I guess it's unfortunate the way that it's happened with Roy going to hospital and everything that's happening, because apparently today at that press conference, he was potentially going to speak about him, you know, leaving the club. So it would have been good to hear from him as well. So it's unfortunate that it's had to happen this way. But we are, according to Fabrizio Romano, Ben Jacobs, and various other sources, Crystal Palace have a new manager. Oliver Glasner is the new head coach of Crystal Palace. It hasn't been officially announced yet, but should be announced relatively shortly. Over in Germany, they are saying that he's getting a 2-year contract at Palace. Apparently, he has an option. Well, there's an option to extend his stay at Palace as well. So 2 year with another year to extend his contract at Palace. Look, gents, there's a lot of news I've pushed out there within the last 3 minutes, of course, with Roy Hodgson. Unfortunate, but he won't be taking charge on Monday night. Before we talk about the news individually, I mean, how did we feel about today? Like, I just feel like today everything just happened back to back. I'll start off with you, Patrick.
I mean, it was obviously a strange day. I mean, kind of hearing yesterday that that Glasner was in the works, and then, you know, waking up to the fact that Roy, you know, was rushed to the hospital. You know, the press conference was cancelled, and there was all kind of conspiracies going on about that, what happened. I mean, obviously not happy to hear that he's sick, because no one wants to hear that kind of stuff. But it's been a really strange day. I mean, really, I'm sure no one at Palace wanted this day to go this way, obviously. The news that Glasner came out, they would have probably preferred it not come out with what happened to Roy. But again, it's been out there for a while. So it's just been it's been a very, very strange day. I mean, really, it has been a very strange day.
Yeah, Stan, for you as well, you've been following it over. Not stateside. What do you say for Canada? Canada side? How do you?
The other side of the pond.
The other side of the pond. Like where you are. Look, with Roy, of course, it's been an eventful season. There's a lot that's happened, and there's no point denying it. It's just sad because, you know, I wanted him to leave the club. But not in this way, you know. At least he could have had a press conference. I could have said his final words and could have left the club like that. But right now, I don't even know if he's still in hospital or not. It's a bit unfortunate the way that he is leaving. I know that we didn't want, you know, the club clearly made a decision and he was going to, you know, it's going to be announced all today. But it just, that's the unfortunate side. For a guy, whether you disagree or agree with him, you know, four to five years at Crystal Palace, in his first season, he did keep us up. We didn't score a goal for 7 games. We've had some good times under him in the 4 or 5 years. We also had some bad times. But, you know, it's just sad for his last job to end in this way, especially with him not, you know, able to even say goodbye.
It is. And like you said, like we all probably wanted him gone out of the job. We did. Mm. But no one wants anyone to suffer or be sick or anything like that. Like, we're all, do you know what I mean? Like, we're all reasonable people here. We're all human beings, right? It's a shame that he didn't get to say his goodbyes. Maybe if he's feeling well enough and we come out of this, you know, smelling of roses, and we actually do end up staying up, and maybe he can come back the last game of the season, so he can say goodbye and the fans can thank him and clap him off or something. But listen, I'm disappointed for him personally, but, you know, from the point that he didn't get to say goodbye, but, you know, this change should have happened in November, right? Happened in November. The guy is definitely, you know, he's 76 years old. He's been under immense amounts of pressure. And however fit and healthy you can be, being a Premier League manager is going to age you, it's going to stress you out, it's going to take it out of you, and it looks like, unfortunately, that's caught up.
It's not the best circumstances, as I said, but I guess trying to find a positive out of this is that maybe he does need this rest. Maybe that this is, you know, as much as we wanted him out for footballing reasons, but maybe on a personal reason, we look at Roy Hodgson. I mean, in the Villa game, he couldn't, you know, come to the game. Yeah, he was sick in that game. Yeah. So he's had problems this season with his health and, you know, taking... He was at a training ground today. He had to be rushed to hospital at the training ground. It wasn't like he got sacked today and then he was in hospital. He was at Palace. And he was going to actually hold a press conference. So maybe when you look at the bright side, hopefully he has a bit more time, you know, for him to rest up, look at his health, take care of himself. End of the day, the guy had passion for football. You know, that's one thing. Whether we wanted him at the club or not, he had a passion for football. It's kind of incredible at 76 years old, the fact that he still wanted to manage. But yeah, look, it is sad. And from everyone at Back of the Nest and, of course, at Palace as well, they said as well, you know, wish Roy all the best. And maybe at, towards the end of the season, he could come to Palace and, you know, say his goodbyes like that. Now, Oliver Glasner, as I said, Fabrizio Romano, Ben Jacobs, you know, everyone is basically saying he is set to become a new manager. 2-year deal plus a year.
One person didn't say it. Alan Nixon didn't say it yet.
Oh, yeah. That's why it hasn't been announced yet. Because right. Alan Nixon hasn't approved it.
Yeah, because Nixon hasn't... what's it called?
Yeah, he kind of denied it. He didn't rubber stamp it,
yeah.
He's not getting three right in a row. He got two right with the signings. He's not getting three right in a row. Not Nixon.
Yeah, he's waiting till it's announced, then he's going to say it. But look, Stan, you actually made a call about this weeks ago. You wanted Glasner at the football club. He is a winning manager. And I actually want to talk about that as well because I guess Frank de Boer was a winning manager. But apart from that, I mean, when you look at his profile, what he's done at clubs, we're going to look at just not his latest job, but Wolfsburg, how he made them, you know, achieve Champions League football at Frankfurt, winning the Europa League there. You must be happy because this is the man that you wanted.
I'm very happy. And the club actually spoke to him in the summer. And, I don't know why they didn't bring him in then.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, he's a manager with some pedigree. You know, he's managed in the Bundesliga. Like you said, he unexpectedly got Wolfsburg up to fourth and they were in the Champions League. And then he went to Eintracht Frankfurt, which was a mid to lower end Bundesliga team, and he got them into Europa and he went and won the bloody thing. He is well known for bringing in youth players. He plays a style of football that is probably better on the eye than our current coaching setup plays. He plays a press. He plays a very aggressive side of football. And I think that he will bring that winning mentality to Crystal Palace back. I know this is a Palace channel. We don't like mentioning Brighton, but I don't know if you watched the post-Brighton interviews I watched from both sides. The Palace players are heads down, mumbling. And I know Brighton are just one. But you can see in all of their post-match interviews, if you ever watch them, they are switched on, they are on it, they are winning, etc., etc. And their coach brings them to that level all the time. And I'm hoping, I'm not saying he's going to do a madness to a De Zerbi, get us into Europe, da, 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 but I'm hoping he's going to bring that mentality back that probably we haven't had since we had Vieira in his first season. And that needs to come back. So, yeah. What's it called? Oliver Glasner's Red Blue Army, lads.
Yeah, honestly, when I saw it today, I was like, we're finally getting a new manager. Just not a new manager in the sake of a new manager, but a manager that's won something, a manager that is actually quality, who's got experience. And there's been other managers that we've been linked with, such as Steve Cooper that Patrick, you wanted at a football club. But I've had some reservations about him, but then it reached a point where it was so bad under Roy that, you know, maybe bring in Steve Cooper because genuinely, I don't think he can get any worse right now. But I'm much more happier with Glasner than Steve Cooper due to his experience abroad as well and the type of football that he wants to play. And not just all guns blazing. He has the right time to press. It's not like you're going to press for 90 minutes. There's moments of the game where the players will conserve their energy. There's moments of the game where the players will press. Of course, it's a different system, but when you first heard the news, Patrick, because you really wanted a change, I think you were one of the first people or in line of the first people that wanted a change. As soon as Roy was announced in the summer, you did say that it wasn't the right appointment. You wasn't happy with it. But now that we've gotten a new manager, now that it's all confirmed, are you happy with the man that's going to be leading the project? Because that's what it seems like. It's the project.
Well, that's the thing. Well, first, again, credit to Stan, because again, when he mentioned Glasner back in like, I think, November on one of the post match, I knew who he was because I know about Frank, but I didn't really think that chance we could ever get him. So kudos to him, because I didn't think about him being an option. And then just real quickly, regarding Cooper, the reason I wanted to have Cooper, because honestly, I needed somebody different than Roy, someone who I thought had a plan. What I did today, because I had a quite a bit of time from the time this kind of came out to now to kind of look it up. I looked up some information about Glasner. So I want to bring out six important points about him, right? The first thing is, one, he's known to improve players, which I think as a Palace manager, we haven't had many coaches or managers in the past that have known to improve players. Two, man management style is brilliant, they say, which is also a very important trait. I think in the past, Vieira has been pretty good, Pardew with decent man management. Three, gets the best out of each player, which I think is always important to improve to each player. Four, gets teams punching above their weight individually and as a team. As a Palace fan, I am so tired of this phrase of a free hit. To me, you go in there and you do your best and you punch above your weight, you do the best you can. As a Palace supporter, I love when I heard about that. Number five, he invests in youth talent and has a passion for it. And he has the courage of his convictions to give them opportunities to play. And he trusts them in games. Listen, man, we all know my passion for the youth. And if that's going to be a thing that he's going to bring to Palace, I'm all for it. And number six was, if players buy into his system, they're ruthless, they're intense, they're quick countering, they're aggressive, and they're intelligent. And we're going to have, Palace going to have a clear identity. So let me tell you something. I could not be any happy about this decision. Listen, everybody knows I was a big Vieira fan. But even Vieira, for me, didn't have these type of attributes coming into Palace. He didn't have the trophies, didn't have the background. And more importantly, like I said, he has the things that, for me as a Palace fan, this is what I want from my manager, man. I want man management. I want, you talk about the tactics, D. He'll switch it up 3-4-3, 4-3-3, 3-5-2. I love that about a manager. You have to be adaptable. This is 2024. This is not 2011. This is not 2012.
Or 1990. You have to be able to adapt.
I'm incredibly excited about it. Now, it's not official, so I don't want to go crazy. But Oliver Glasner is a massive coup for Palace. The man was linked with Bayern Munich. The man was linked with Bayern Munich. And apparently he might have a clause in his contract, by the way, to go to Munich if they come calling, which, again, it is what it is. And
we'd be here for like 2 days before Bayern Munich come calling for him.
Yeah, that would be so bad, right? And lastly, seriously, kudos to John Textor. And the reason I'm saying that is, I know that one, he wanted him at Lyon a few months ago, and two, he spoke to him before Parrish did. So I know we have a lot of people on here who are anti-Textor. You can be whatever you want. That's fine. And it's not an anti-Parrish statement. I'm just saying that you wanted off of John Textor. And I'll even say Harrison Blitzer too, because they wanted this manager also. He would not be here. So I want to just say, man, seriously, this is a massive coup for Palace. I hope it works out. I'm excited. I'm not going to be the kind of person, by the way, who's going to be in a month or now and say, oh, Glasner out. I back every manager we've had except for Hodgson. You can go back and look. I didn't have a problem with Pardew. I like Pulis, Allardyce, Hodgson the first time, not the second time. So I'm not going to be this kind of person going to come on here and now and say, oh, Glasner in. And then 3 months from now, when it's not working out, Glasner out. I'm all for this project, man. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great, great hire. And I really hope it works out.
Yeah, so we've got a super chat here from Daniel. Just quickly want to bring this up. Thank you once again for your super chat. He says, wish we could convince him in the summer. Hopefully we stay up. Fellas, do you think this board will back him? I don't think he comes unless he has some reassurances from the board. And I think that's a very good question. I think you answered the question there, Daniel. I don't think he will come unless he has reassurance from the board. I need to find the source, but not today. I think it was yesterday that the reports were suggesting that him and Dougie Friedman met. And they had very good talks, and everything was, fairly. Glasner, and the reason why this question is important, because I'm going to try and find the reports about why he left Frankfurt in the first place. Like, he is a demanding manager. He might not look like it, but he is, and
he should be a demanding manager.
Yeah. Yeah, you want a manager like that. You want a manager to try and push a club forward. And this is a manager that won Europa League and still left. He still left because he thought the club was doing one thing and they wanted another thing. But as we listed, I don't think there should be much of a problem at Palace, because I think these discussions, first of all, before you sign a contract, you have these discussions. And clearly he was sold a project. maybe that included the idea of maybe selling one of Elise or one of these key players, and right. might be happy with that, reinvested that money back into the team. But overall, what we want to do now, we are, as a football club, in terms of investing in youth, trying to actually play football,
right.
which we did do under Patrick Vieira. It didn't make sense. Unfortunately, I know it's not the best time right now to talk about Hodgson in detail because the man's in hospital, but it didn't make sense reappointing Roy Hodgson because we know that he had a different style of approach. But right now, with Glasner, it does kind of make sense now. Now I can actually believe the club plans a bit more that we do want to use youth. And that's our main focus. And that academy, we are going to try and get the best out of them because this is a manager that not only the academy, but the players that we've got here as well, he's going to try and get the best out of them. And that's what he has done in previous jobs. Go ahead, Patrick.
Now, yeah, my point was, I mean, I think, like, going back to the Texter thing, I think that he'll be back because Texter, Harris, the Blitzer are going to back him. Now, again, no shots at Parrish, but we all know that in the past, Parrish has not wanted to spend the money. I think if Glass is going to come here and he's spoken to Dougie, he knows he's going to be back. We brought in Wharton, we brought in Munoz, so he spent the most money in the last window. There's no reason why we can't spend money in the next window. I'm not talking 150 million. I'm talking about enough to, let's say, get the striker that we're going to need. Maybe if we lose Olise, we replace him maybe. And then maybe we get a backup left back, that kind of thing. Or, you know what I mean? So I think there's no doubt that he'll be back. But again, this is not a Parrish pick. This is a Texter, Harris, Blitzer, and they have the money. So.
But Dougie was involved as well. So
no,
I think we have...
Only, no, agree, 100%. No, Dougie, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I want to back up what Patrick just said as well. And Patrick, we conversed about this morning as well. He is a John Texter hire. I'm telling you, he is a John Texter hire. And I might get slated for this, whatever. I think John Texter has gone to Parrish and said, I own the majority of this football club. I don't care about your golden share. Okay. If you don't hire my guy, I'm out of it. That's what I think has happened.
I feel like they all wanted to change their stance. So I don't know exactly what conversation that they could have had.
Parrish has been dithering. This should have happened in November.
Yeah, it should have happened a while ago. It should have happened a while ago. But it's frustrating. But then again, I guess if Lazarus is the answer now, even though it should have happened a while ago, it makes things a bit better. It's not like we're bringing in Steve Cooper, for example. It makes it a bit more respectable in that sense. But I do agree with you. It should have happened a bit, you know.
Yeah, one more thing I will say before, obviously, I know T's come on. He's going to want to give his 2 cents in a second. The one thing I really liked about Vieira was the fact that he went and watched the academy games. He went and watched the young teams play. And from what I remember is that every team throughout the club was trying to play the style of football that they were trying to implement in the first team. Okay. When he left, that all just went to pieces. I don't know what they're doing at the moment. I mean, our academy teams are quite good. You know, they are making progress. I hope the same now happens with all of the guys. Listen, a few of the members of our board. So one of the members of our board, he's very known to give people assurances and then not come up with it. Okay, which I hope doesn't happen this time. But I'm telling you. This is the best hire that we could have made. I know it's not official yet. It will be in the coming days. This is the best hire this club could have made. You could not have hoped for a better prospect as a manager than Oliver Glasner.
Before you bring T on, I want to address something in the chat because I want this is not going to go on for the entire show, okay? Now, Luke, did you hear me at the beginning of the show? Did you not hear me? I enjoying and agreeing with this bit. Think Patrick should at least say he hopes Roy's okay after what he said. What did I say at the beginning of the show, D? Understand? What did I say?
Yeah, I mean, we all said that. We all said
that. I mean, seriously, like, we're going to do this the whole show. You're going to slate me because I didn't. Is that what we're going to do? I already said I hope he's okay. We're not going to do this the entire show.
We've already discussed this. And I mean, let's not even push these. I said at the start of the show, any kind of personal disrespect was right. We talk about Roy, the manager, we wanted him out. But right now, end of the day, 76-year-old man, he's in hospital. He was meant to say his goodbyes at a press conference. It's not going to happen like that, unfortunately, because he was in hospital. Steve Parrish even flew him to the hospital because it was rough day. So we're not taking any disrespect like that towards a 76-year-old man. Let's have a bit more class. And everyone here has so far had that. So let's keep it like that. T, What's going on, man? It's been a while. It's been a while, bro. I started to forget what you look like.
I just feel the he's got a fresh trim, though. He's got a fresh trim.
Exactly. Where you been?
Yeah, man. Working like crazy, mostly. Yeah.
Is your mic? Well, your mic is a bit... I don't know what's going on with your mic.
I had to do it on my phone because I couldn't get on my computer.
Oh, okay. Cool. Like, I think it was rubbing onto something, so it was a bit muffled. But now I think it sounds a bit fine. Look. Glasner, set to become a new manager. Are you happy out of all the managers that we could have got out there? He's won the Europa League. He's developed teams and pushed them on as well. Is this the manager that you wanted at Palace?
I mean, it's definitely one I'm excited about, man. I don't know how far it goes back, but like, how long has it been since we've had a manager that's won something significant in recent history too? I'm like, this, we're talking about a guy who won the Europa League 2 years ago. I don't know. It's significant. I don't think anybody can say that it's not significant.
Yeah, I think that is. Just a quickly another thing as well. Look, he's coming from abroad. Rightly so, there might be question marks. What about the communication issues? Would he be able to translate his ideas over? Because we've even seen it with the likes of Emery. He was an awful manager at Arsenal, but his English wasn't as good as it is Villa, and that was
fantastic English.
Yeah, that was an issue, and that's what I wanted to bring up. Glasner can speak pro.
He speaks better English than me and you.
Yeah, exactly. He can speak English, so there isn't any problems there. So if anyone had any questions about, would he be able to, we're in a relegation battle, you speak perfect English. Perfect. So that would help us.
And I
think that probably does play a part. It might seem insignificant at times. You might think, he's fine, he will learn English. But when you're in a relegation battle, which we are right now, and you need your manager to be able to translate his ideas, express himself to the players, we need him to be able to speak English and communicate with these players right now. And he can do that. So that's another plus as well. But talking about relegation, let's quickly ask everyone's thoughts on this. Is he the right man in a relegation battle? Because there was even question marks in the chat as well saying, is this the right time to appoint him? Considering that he hasn't had any Premier League experience. I know he's had very good experience abroad, especially over in Germany. But he hasn't yet to manage in the Premier League, and he's straight away throwing into a relegation battle with, some key players out. What do you think about that, Patrick?
I'm not sure he had a choice. So at this point, as far as the options, it wasn't like he had an Allardyce out there or Pulisic you could turn to after Hodgson. So at this point, for me, you had to appoint someone. It's not ideal that he hasn't had Premier League experience, but there are matches out there that we can win regardless of who the manager is, the Burnley game, the Luton game. We have to win those, whether it's going to be Hodgson or Glasner. We probably need about four more wins in the last 10 or so matches, or 14 matches that we have left. So, it's not ideal, but I think that, like I said, knowing his background, knowing what he'll bring to the club, the players take more responsibility for me. They have to step up, how they've been playing, because a lot of them have underachieved. But for me, it's the best we could have done. And again, for me, it's not necessarily about this season, because again, people have been talking the entire time about it's unlikely we're going to go down with the possible Forest and Everton additional, losing points, and obviously Burnley and Luton, Sheffield United really struggling. So, we're in it, but again, I just think that we had no choice but to make a decision. I think it's a pretty decent one.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to that, because based on the reports, some of the other managers that we're linked with, it seemed like they were scared. They weren't willing to take the job right now. And I said it all along. If you're not willing to take us right now when we need you, when we're saying we need you at Palace, we want to stay up as a Premier League football club, then we'll give you the opportunity. Then don't come back around. Stay where you are. And I'm happy that the club made that decision by hiring Glasner rather than waiting until the summer, because some of these managers that's been on the club's list, they just turned us down when we needed them. And I don't want a manager.
Bargain basement managers there as well. Like, I'm like, Steve Cooper, like, sorry, mate, like, your stock ain't really that high at all. And you're turning down another chance of managing the Premier League. yeah, all right, we'll just go and get Oliver Glasner, who's
Lopetegui as well. And you know, man, come on, have some faith. Have some faith in your manager ability. That just doesn't give me any confidence as well.
That's what it
comes happy down. That we avoided those managers.
It comes down to guys having, like, your manager having confidence in himself and what he is all about, his philosophies, the things that he can impart upon a team to make them win. I mean, the thing that I'm personally rather optimistic with when it comes to Glasner is when you look at his resume, regardless of where it's been, he's taken teams that have been on the lower end and he's taken them to higher level, elevated them to level. Now, mind you, a lot of those he had, you know, full training camps, things of that nature to get his team to those points. But I'm guessing that the experiences that he's had in those places where he's taken teams from lower end to very, very high aspirations, he feels like he can implement that in a timely manner, believing in himself and probably seeing our team. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we have we still have a very talented squad. I stand by that. Yeah, so any competent manager could see we got great pieces here. I can make this work with what I do well.
I think he's just like got to just change like the setup a little bit, and I think that gives us like another 20% chance of winning a game or getting something out of a game. I mean, it's, you know, where we are at the moment. I mean, look at, you know, how many times we've just sort of fallen at the wayside or fallen asleep or, you know, conceded in the first minute or unable to score a goal from a set piece. I mean, you know, there's like two or three things there that you could change pretty freaking quickly. And that'll give you a better chance. I really hope that he's allowed to bring an entire backroom team with him and we don't have to give Dean Kiley the goalkeeper coaching job. Again, that he goes with him as well. Paddy may be a first team coach or, you know, somewhere in the club, but like we've got to stop being a jobs for the boys.
What if he wants it? What if he wants an assistant or someone that knows the players just there?
It's fine. That's up to him. If that's what he wants, then the club is getting
out of the season because there isn't that long left.
Yeah. Interesting to see who he's going to bring with him in such a short amount of time.
I think his assistant manager, it was
It's Emmanuel Pogatetz. He's a former Premier League player, played for Middlesbrough, played for West Ham, center back, tough guy, very emotional, hard as nails player. I think to have Pogatetz in there.
Patrick, do you remember the nickname that they had for that guy?
He is a very intense guy. Listen, you get someone like that, get intense to him. I have no problem with McCarthy and Kiley staying the rest of the season. I want them gone at the end of the season. But for right now, transition-wise, with 14 matches, you got to keep them around because the players are going to need someone they know. But bringing a couple of players, people that he knows and have them be part of that staff, I got no problem with that. But again, I'm with Stan. I don't need them to stick around next season. But right now, you can keep Kiley, get him off set pieces, obviously. But keep Paddy around. But yeah, you don't have to keep. You know, Ray will be gone because he's, you know. So, but no, I have no problem with him bringing in a couple of his own people. But I think transition wise, keep a couple of the people that are here now would be good for the players that are here. But we'll see what happens. But I mean, it'll be interesting. Yeah.
And he's a very animated manager as well. If you go watch,
he's great. He's awesome. I love that.
You know what? We just need a connection. Yeah. We need a connection between the manager, the fans, and the players. And you could tell, like, even his celebrations in the Europa League final, just, yes, he won the Europa League. Of course, he's going to be delighted, but he just slided on the ground, like, sliding under the players. They created like a little pathway for him. He just slided on. Like, it just seems like he enjoys it. He's passionate. It's all, you know, fairly young as well in terms of managerial.
Yeah, 49.
Yeah, 49. He's still, you know, he's still learning, he's growing, and he's improved wherever he's gone. Like, there isn't any denial there. But I just want to quickly also talk about why I think this is important now rather than summer. Even if it's Glasner, even if you've got Glasner summer, why it's important now rather than summer. The club right now, in honesty, from the fan base to the ownership to the players, it's literally a roller coaster that's just not even coming. A roller coaster can come down like this, but it's coming down like this. I'm not even talking about just results. It is incredibly toxic, and I'm not.
I think it's been looped a loop, bro. It's not coming down. It's been looped a loop.
Nah, this one ain't looping. This one is crashing down. It's about to crash down. That's how down we're going. But the reason why I think is important now rather than summer is one, ideally you want to give new players that you want to recruit in the summer and also the current players a bit of belief. I think Crystal Palace right now, the fans, I think I didn't have any belief about the season or the future with how things were going. But if this new manager comes in, if he implements his ideas, if he builds a connection, which I think we need again, you look at players like Joakim Andersson. This season, he hasn't been the same. But we know his talents. We know his ability. There's been times where he's gone up to the fans. He just seemed frustrated. His body language just seemed off. And I don't think he's been enjoying his football at Palace. But players like that, if you can give them the belief that, you know what, we've got this manager. Let's see how you get along with him. And if they do get along, then we could actually solve some of our problems by some of these players actually playing better, but also considering whether they want to move away from Palace.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I'll say as well? It's very important that they've gone and got him now because likely in the summer, Moyes leaving West Ham, big job.
De Zerbi potentially
leaving Brighton, big job.
Tuchel leaving Bayern, possibly.
Yeah, Tuchel leaving Bayern, big job. I don't know how strong the link was with Glasner and Bayern. I'm not discounting his abilities. Listen, Bundesliga, like they brought Nagelsmann in, who I'd never heard of in my life, and he's got, look what he did. Do you know what I mean? So Hansi Flick was the same one. He was, you know, I didn't know that much about him. But what I would say is that this is the time to go for him because there will be bigger jobs available in the summer. And I think Parrish thought that, oh, well, I'll get the pick of managers in the summer and I'll just wait around and da da da. But not working like that. Do you know what I mean? Football unravels, it moves quickly. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Patrick, I know you need to head off. But when it is actually officially announced, we'll probably open up the lines then, get everyone's thoughts as well. But we'll catch up with you again soon. Now, watch where Patrick's available for everything. Every show. He'll create the shows himself. I'll come over and I'll just see Patrick.
Play ratings, are we going to do that again now?
Player ratings, everything.
Could you ever imagine player ratings the past
five shows a day now? Yeah, Patrick should be.
I gave you a break not doing player ratings, mate. So you should be happy that we haven't been doing it for the last 3 months. Put it on yourself.
New shows. A lot of people here probably haven't even seen the player ratings because it's been that long ago and there's been a lot of new subscribers. But
before you go, who was Glasner's star midfielder at Eintracht Frankfurt that we nearly bought in the summer or under Vieira?
It starts with a D.
I know who it is as well. D. I know who it is. It starts
Jabril Sow.
Yeah. I was thinking about actually the striker, Kolo Muani. Didn't he play for Eintracht Frankfurt too, the striker?
He did.
Sal, we were linked with him.
Anyway, boys, great stream. Must enjoy my birthday. Have a nice
day. Happy birthday, Patrick. Okay.
Happy birthday, bro. Let's go through some of the chats as well. Let's see the chat from Cameron. For Patrick is being a bit insensitive. He wasn't being insensitive. It is a sensitive topic. Like, we're not just talking about Roy getting sacked. The man can
honestly. He's a 76-year-old. People can't compartmentalize it. Like, they automatically, like, when we're speaking about the unhappiness of the manager and the job he's done, people can't compartmentalize the conversation to just being about that. They have to make it about the fact that he did have the health scare today.
Which
we recognize, we understand, that doesn't mean that Roy hasn't been doing horrible as a manager for us.
It's a totally
different conversation. It's completely compartmentalized. Not only is it compartmentalized, but as we said, and I watched the beginning of the show, Patrick was sensitive enough to address it and give him well wishes on his health. But that being aside from that, we can still have a conversation about him needing to go, about him not performing as a manager. We can have that conversation and not be insensitive.
Because we're not kidding ourselves here. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not being insensitive. I think every Palace fan is grateful for what Roy Hodgson did for this club. But the long and short of it is that probably since Fulham at home back in September, it has been rubbish. Yeah. It has.
And I just quickly want to bring up this comment from James saying Frankfurt didn't want him and we're delighted to have him. Frankfurt didn't want him. He literally won them a trophy. It's not
that's
about Frankfurt not wanting him.
James, that's
why he didn't leave.
He didn't leave because he was pressuring them about making moves for players so that they could continue to achieve at a high level. They were losing guys because of how talented they were. Did you realize that they who Patrick just mentioned, they lost Kolo Muani to other clubs, and they weren't willing to spend money to go out and get players. So it was a difference in opinion between with the squad. So if anything, it's not like he wasn't doing well as a manager and he wasn't getting results. That has nothing to do with it. So get your facts straight before you get on here and make a comment like that, because it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. I was going to say, sorry, D, to interrupt you. I was going to say this later. Who do you want in charge, James? Who do you want?
Steve Cooper?
Yeah, who you want? Steve Cooper? Listen, I'm going to say this now. Some of this fan base, they're not ready for Oliver Glasner. They're just not ready for it. They won't like it. It's too much change. They're not ready for it.
By the way, I guess we shouldn't look into these things too much, but I have to right now. Oliver Glasner, he follows 11 people on his Instagram. You know who he follows?
He follows Palace,
and he follows Fabrizio Romano, and just basically no other football club. It's pretty much that. I just think right now what it is, I don't know when he'll be announced, because it is a very awkward time most likely next week. But, you know, he's even following Palace on his Instagram, and I don't think that is a coincidence. Like, why on earth would he follow Palace when there's so many teams out there and no other football side? Luke saying I would have been happy with Jose Mourinho or Hasenhüttl. Let's quickly just talk about his system. So we talked about him playing potentially five at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we've got the players now for that? I think that's why the Daniel Munoz signing, I was very happy with, because at the start of the window, we were talking about potentially signing another left back, which would have made sense as a backup to Tyrick Mitchell, a bit more competition there. But we desperately needed another right back for moments like this, because if we didn't sign Munoz, I don't know if Glasner looks at the squad saying, I don't know if I can play the same way, because Wardy or Nathaniel Clyne, they cannot play as wingbacks. I think Munoz fits that system. So when you look at our squad right now, do you think maybe it's not where it should be to fit Glasner's system, or do you think we have enough to play the type of football that he wants to play?
I think we have a great team for what he's looking to do. I think there's only one position that even comes across as a little bit of a worry, and that's left wingback. But if you analyze his tactics, which I've been trying to do my research on ever since this came to be, he likes to advance one of his wingbacks forward and tuck the other one in. So in that situation, if that's how he's going to do it, and we're talking about not necessarily putting both of them really high, then you can afford to play Tariq Mitchell on that left wingback spot, because you're not expecting him to be that extremely advanced left wing back if he's going to tuck in more. Outside of that, if you did want to have a guy play more advanced, then you just have to probably be creative and figure out who you can put in that situation and play in that spot. My mind immediately goes to Jordan Ayew, personally. But
what spot?
At left wing back.
What about, so Mitchell, you wouldn't play him at wing?
No, I think if the tactics hold true to what I've been seeing about them tucking in one of the wing back when the other one goes forward, then I will be fine with Tariq being there, because he's not truly being an out and out wing back. You know what I mean? So in that situation, I think he can handle that position. But if they wanted somebody to be more of an out and out wing back, then maybe Jordan Ayew's probably the person that you look at.
Yeah, and I think our center halves fit into what he wants to do as well. So he likes to take either the left center back or the right center back. and push them forward, allow them to dribble the ball and join the midfield for overload. And
we got guys that can do that.
Gehi, which I think that's what they can do. In fact, I haven't really seen much of Anderson do that recently. I know he's had a few runs at it,
but he definitely can. Like, he has that ability.
Yeah. We've got the players there. What about in the attack? If we play five at the back, you know, there'll be one striker and two players, you know, right behind the striker. How do we see the front three with Elise? I know Elise won't be back here, but let's say if everyone's fit, how do we see that even working? France is there, Edouard, Mateta, Eze, there's a lot of players.
Yeah, Eze, Elise for sure, and then take your pick of who you want up top. I think right now, I mean, I guess it really depends on what Flick, I mean, what, I'm sorry, not Flick, but what Grasner wants.
Yeah.
I think in this situation, it's going to be Mateta, because if you think back to some of the guys he's had at striker before, he likes bigger strikers. Like when at Wolfsburg is when he had, don't escape me, Weghorst, Wout Weghorst.
Yeah, and he got the best out of Weghorst. Yeah.
And he got the.
Okay.
He's literally the reason why Weghorst ended up getting the opportunity to go somewhere like Man United. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How he was playing. So so I could see it being somebody like Mateta. And then if that's the case, then that then gives Edouard the chance to shift back also and kind of rotate in those inside forward positions. But I think that would be Eze and Elise when everybody's healthy. But then you got Franca, you've got Hamada that can get in there. So I think we've got a good stable of guys that can step into those roles immediately, along with the two defensive midfielder positions that, you know, right now would be Lerma, Wharton, probably Hughes on the back end. But when everybody's healthy, you got Decore there too. So you got some really good guys that can rotate into those spots. So I feel like what we have right now suit what he's looking to do personnel-wise pretty well, outside of that one question mark at left wing back.
Mm, so do you think, so left wing back is your problem, issue that you want to see solved, and you know, only time will tell what Glasner will do. But for you, Stan, are there any players that you think haven't been performing that you hope that Glasner will get the best out of them so far this season?
Mm. I hope he gets a tune out of Edouard, if I'm being honest.
Edouard was all right, though, until he got injured. And then
he
really hasn't had a chance, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think there is more to come from him, you know? I do think there is more to come from him. And... I think, what's it called? I think that, there's more to come from him. And I just think we need to score some goals. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the team needs to get scoring some more goals. I think we need to do a little bit more. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, which players have performed brilliantly this year? I mean,
well, we need to stop competing goals, first and foremost. We need to stop, that's been a
firstly,
problem.
Like, I hope he comes in and grabs Dean Henderson by the scruff of the neck, slaps him around the face with a wet cloth a few times, and puts him in the reserves,
man. Well, the only thing, maybe Dean Henderson can react to, you know, a new manager coming in as well. Don't you think one of those players? Because right now, it seems like, even though Sam Johnson is there, it seems like his position isn't much of a threat. But the thing is, Dean Henderson, it seems like he's going to be the Sam Johnson replacement. That's what...
Well, that's...
I don't know if Ogie's going to realize that he's made a mistake. Well, it's looking like a mistake so far. Maybe he still needs a bit more time to bed in. But a lot of people are saying that it's a massive flop already. Maybe Glasner gets the best out of him.
That is a stupid move from the club if he's the Sam Johnson replacement. Because honestly, I would...
We already need a replacement.
You know what? I would, in the summer, I would take whatever you can get for Dean Henderson, probably about 200 grand. Ship him off wherever and just take the loss, mate. Take the loss. Off you go, because he's that bad. He's the worst goalie I've seen at Palace in years.
Yeah, well, in years. Not the one. You're not comparing him to Wayne Hennessy. Oh, you're still on that.
Oh, mate, he's on a par with him. Dean Henderson.
He isn't. I can't. There's no way. There is no way he's on a par with Wayne Hennessy. Wayne Hennessy gave me
You ever seen him catch a cross, D? You ever seen Dean Henderson catch a cross?
Yeah, I've seen him catch a cross, but I've also seen
him catch a cross. Not the first attempt.
But he can catch it, but he might spill it over a few times. But
so yeah, don't catch it. Wayne Hennessy
gave me nightmares. He gave me nightmares. But yeah, look, Dean Henderson, that's a player to look out for, the goalkeeper situation, because I think that is getting a bit weird right now with the amount of goals that we're leaking, some of the goals that we're actually conceding. Centre-halves, I think it should be Gay here, Anderson and Richards. I think we all agree on that if we're playing a back five. Munoz at right wing back. For me, left wing back would be Mitchell. I'll keep Mitchell at left wing back. I would have put Ayu there, even though there is a shout, as you said, T. In midfield, Walton, Lerma. I think those are the players that should be, you know, solidify that midfield and attack right now. Maybe Francer. I mean, he looked energetic against Chelsea. And you can tell he's still raw, but he's got that confidence. Like, he's willing to learn. He's willing to step out there and take that risk. He's not scared of misplacing a shot or misplacing a pass. And sometimes you need players like that for them to learn. Do you get it? Like, they just need to learn on the go and how important. I don't think he realises that if you give away the ball, you're not giving away to any other player. Now you're giving away to players that's worth about 56 million pounds. So, but he won't know that, France, until he, you know, does his mistakes and learn from his mistakes as well. When Elise came into the side, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't perfect. He learned, and then slowly he just adapted naturally to the Premier League. So for me, T, I'm looking at France, the player to get excited about. And that's pretty much it. I don't know about, you know, the Ragsack. Is there any other academy players? Maybe Ozo gets a bit more of a shout?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely could. I mean, and the thing about Ozo is, you know, I mean, I think he's probably going to get more opportunities with a manager like Glasner than he would with
off the bench.
Glasner has, because Glasner has a history of bringing through younger guys and playing them, you know? Like, you know, that type of thing is just something that makes me think that hopefully maybe behind a Wharton and behind a Lerma, the next person you feed is Ozo. Maybe not Will Hughes. You know what I mean?
Go on.
I just think that this manager, look at Ahamada. Someone's mentioned Ahamada there, right? Ahamada was starting in the Bundesliga, lads. He was starting in the Bundesliga and he was scoring goals.
Yep.
Oliver Glasner is probably going to get better out of him. And we're finally going to see Ahamada for what he actually is. Please God. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, honestly, with this manager, I just want him to make us competitive in every game. That's a start. I just want to compete. Whoever we've, I'm not saying we have to beat them. We have to do this. We have to do that. I just want to be competitive in every game. I want to take the cup seriously and see what happens from there. But I want the board to give him a squad capable of doing that.
I think this summer is going to be massive for that. And we're going to see what type of football that he plays. We're going to see how these players react to him. So there's still, you know, decent amount of game size to see, you know. For him to look at some of these players and say, yes, he's the one for me. No, he's not the one for me. Maybe some of these players could surprise us. There might be another academy player that we haven't even mentioned that might get a bit more of an opportunity. Maybe one of the strikers, if he doesn't rate Mateta or Edouard, for example. Maybe one of the forwards in the academy, they could get an opportunity. So it's very hard to say when you have a manager that, you know, that actually wants to look at youth, which I don't think we've really had now. I know there's been a few youth players on the bench, but in all honesty, no one really expected them to come on and change the game or even play, because look at France. I mean, France comes on, he started against Chelsea, but before the Chelsea game, he barely had any opportunities. So, you know, with this new manager, maybe we see players that we haven't even expected to see this season, which could be the difference as well. So yeah, I think it should be exciting. Patrick saying Teo would be in perfect win back next season.
He really, really, really could be, Patrick. Like, no kidding.
If he gets himself together and shows the manager what he's all about, 100%.
That could solve the left back problems that we've been having in terms of there's no backup to Mitchell. If Teo can live up to the standards. If you can impress Glasner, then you have Mitchell there and you have Taylor there. And naturally, they should be able to push each other more. And another thing that I'm looking at with this manager is how does he react to players not playing well? Because this season, we've had a lot of players that start week in, week out when they shouldn't.
Not playing good. They're not high-caliber players.
You know? They're adding nothing to the side. I wonder if, I guess all types of, all managers must have their favorites, but is he going to be as stubborn as Roy?
It didn't seem like it. When you go back and you look at his squads and his teams that he had, like when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt, even all the way back to when he was at LASK, like he wasn't playing guys for no reason. Like he was putting guys on the pitch that deserved it. And that even went as far as playing 18 and 19 year old guys often. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like with Frankfurt, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the guy's name right. It's like Aznar Nauf. I'm not sure that's how you say his name, but like he was 18, 19 years old and he was double digit starts both years. The year that they won Europa League, he had like 20 some starts as a 19-year-old.
Hmm. And another big thing, players out of contract. Just quickly, let's mention that as well.
True. So there's a lot of training sessions left.
There's a few months. Some of these players, I'm mentioning names. I don't know if this is exactly up to date, but I think it should be Will Hughes. His contract is meant to expire in the summer. I don't know if that's been signed, but this is according to Transfer Market. I'll double check it with other sources as well. Will Hughes, Jeffrey Schlupp, Riederwald, Nathaniel Klein, Joel Ward, Nathan Ferguson, Tompkins, and Remy Matthews. Now, Remy Matthews and Tompkins, I think, regardless of who the manager was, I think they're going anyways. Nathan Ferguson, I think, is there by goodwill from the football club. Joel Ward, Nathaniel Klein, I think one of them will move on. Right now, it's looking more like Joel Ward. But Jeffrey Schlupp and Will Hughes. Now, from how I've seen the club operate, you expect them to sign another extension because it's an easy, cheap way to have players in the squad. Will Hughes, I think, is a decent squad player. I wonder what Glasner would think of him. But Jeffrey Schlupp,
I think it's the last time you'll see him starting for Crystal Palace. I can tell you that, mate.
Yeah, but it depends on injuries. It depends on injuries as well. But when you look at, Will Hughes and Jeffrey Schlupp is the two significant players in that list. I think it's massive for both of them, no, Slam? That they have to prove themselves. I wonder what happens there. I wonder what Glasner thinks, what the club thinks. Because I think the club would look at a situation, oh, look, Schlupp, Will Hughes, we signed them. They know the Premier League, the experienced players, we need them. But for me, I think there comes a time where you just have to look and you just have to try and move on and replace these players because you keep signing and signing them and they're not offering much, especially with Schlupp.
You know what? I think Schlupp is done. I'd like... What role is he going to play in the team? You know, we like James Tompkins. He's not going to play under Oliver Glasner, is he? Like, let's be real. You know,
he wasn't playing under Royce.
That makes me think it's more important for us too to make sure that we're in the market for another center back because it's not the same when you're playing the three at the back, five at the back, whatever you want to say. Like you're starting three guys. You know what I mean? And for us right now, that's Richards. Anderson and Gahey. Therefore, we need to have legitimate guys that can play behind them. So
I think one of them's going to get sold. I think Gahey's going to get sold in the summer.
Yeah, but that's why we were linked with Ronnie Edwards.
And that's part of me. Like, do we at this point, like in his system, if we need three center back, I don't know.
Who's that Donny from Torino that we were linked with as well?
Sure.
Oh, sure, but he...
I think Ronnie Edwards is the next one that they've, really... Well, not they've really tried this window or the previous window. They've been trying for a few years, Ronnie Edwards. So I think they'll go after him again. Dor on tour, massive Forest fan, has a YouTube channel as well. Make sure to check him out. He says, yo, D, I spoke to Frankfurt fans about this guy when he was linked with Forest. Very good manager, so he might be that guy. So another praise there from our opposition as well, saying... when he was linked with Forest, the Frankfurt fans were happy, and we're going to try and bring on a Frankfurt fan on this channel as well to get more of an insight ahead of him. But yeah, I think with the centre-back situation, I think you make a very good point there. I mean, You want to sell one of, you not want to, but it all depends to you. If we get Elise sold for £70 million, do we need to sell Gehi or Anderson? Is it £70 million like more than enough for us to, you know, have the players that we have right now in the squad and try to bring in a few other quality players? I think we can, based on the business that Doug has done so far, I mean, even Ronnie Edwards is, what, £10 million, he's linked with £12 million or whatever. You bring him in, that's £10 million right there gone. Then you got another like 50 or £60 million left in the bank. Like, do we need to sell more stars in the summer?
I think that's the thing that's nice about our setup is the fact that, you know, our really, really good players, we didn't have to spend a ton of money to get. You know what I mean? Yeah. So in the event that somebody does go, like you said, if it's in a situation where an Elise gets sold for $70 million, that $70 million has covered almost all of our transactions, man.
But do you think Parrish will remember what happened with AWB? Your man went for $50 million. We didn't see a dime of it. Joe Ward is still here. We've only just signed her.
But then again, I think it's different now with the amount of stars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wants to feel like the times have changed since then, Stan. You know what I'm saying? With guys like Texter coming on board, I would hope that those types of, I would say, mismanagement situations won't happen, is what I'm hoping.
And also positive news on the Dougie Friedman to Man United links is that they seem like they're getting Dan Ashworth. So it seemed like Dougie's going to hopefully stay at the football club as well. So.
A mate of mine, he's a Man United fan, told me that Dougie's still coming, but he's working under Dan Ashworth. I said, that's not going to happen, mate.
I don't think so. But we need to, you know, hopefully now things do get a bit more serious and we look like a serious football club. We need to try and push on this summer. We can't be doing the same mistakes. We can't be doing the same mistakes because... Yeah, it was absolutely awful. But look, we're going to wrap up here, people. Hopefully, Glasner is announced sooner rather than later. But more importantly than that, hopefully, Roy recovers and is admitted home if he isn't already done so, as some of you may have missed. Earlier on in the afternoon, he was admitted to the hospital. He was rushed to the hospital from Paddington training ground due to health problems. He's undergoing medical tests. He's in a stable condition. So hopefully everything is fine there. But as it stands for now, Paddy and Ray is going to take over Everton. Then hopefully next week, everything can be sorted and Glasner can be officially announced as the Palace manager. But we are back. I know we've had a few days off. I was ill. As you can see, I've been muting myself and coughing still. So I'm still recovering. I'm not 100%. But if you have enjoyed this, make sure to leave a like and subscribe. We'll be here over the next few days talking about Glasner and much more. Thanks to every single one of you that's joined us. And until next time, up the Palace.
Up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.